Welcome to Office Hours. I'm David Meltzer. We're here at the SiriusXM studios at the Wynn Resorts here in Las Vegas. Blessed to have these amazing co-hosts with us, the president of Quality Film and TV, Brian Scher, our ID architect himself, the Mr. Panache, Arthur Barnes, and of course, the anchor man bringing possibilities to reality, my mentor, coach, and teacher, Blaine Bartlett. Welcome, gentlemen.
Good Thanks to be for, here.
Great to be here.
Oh, I have a treat for you. If you enjoy collectibles, there's the king of collectibles. This man has run two multi-billion dollar organizations, the co-founder of StockX, you may have heard of it, Fanatics Collectibles, may have heard of it, and now his next future billion-dollar venture, guaranteed by Dave Meltzer, called Ghost Right. The amazing entrepreneur, Josh Luber, welcome back to Office Hours.
Thank you very much for having me. I apologize I can't be there in person. It is sad to look at you guys and not be able to be there with you, but thank you for having me virtually.
Well, you always are welcome because of the great knowledge that you bring. And what I really enjoy about doing business with Josh and investing in him and believing in him is that he is an architect of the business of collectibles. It isn't just a business based off of emotion. He has paid attention, or as I like to say, been more interested than interesting. And he finds the niches and he makes the riches. And now he has this idea of Ghost Right, this beautiful launch toy behind him. Josh, I'm curious, what did you see missing in the market after running two multi-billion dollar businesses to create Ghost Right? Where was the hole in the market that Ghost Right fills?
You know, it's a really, first of all, I appreciate your Dr. Seussification of my career and everything else. So I appreciate
He's
that.
So fucking smart.
You know, we often look at new businesses as filling a hole, but the reality is this has been taking what worked over here and apply it to here, and taking what worked over here and apply it to here. I mean, it's a very much a natural progression of being in the same industry long enough to see where the same things might work in different places. And what we're doing right now with collectible toys is the exact same thing we did with trading cards and basically how the sneaker industry works and all the products within the hype economy. They're all supply and demand, intersection of culture and commerce, resell, authentication, culture. And we just get to continue doing it with different products.
Hey, Josh, great to see you. Nice to meet you. You know, you spoke about the culture and something you've really made an indelible impact on the culture for sure. And with StockX and Fanatics and everything. I mean, it's amazing what you've done. Congratulations on your success.
Thank you.
You know, my question is, it's such a cluttered, those are such cluttered marketplaces with sneakers, with collectibles, with cards. Everybody wants to get in those businesses and those fields. What do you think you did to cut above the clutter and become like the biggest and the best on both those businesses?
First of all, thank you very much for the kind words. You know, ironically, I had a number of startups before StockX that had nothing to do with sneakers. In fact, nothing to do with collectibles or any of the areas of which I personally collect or engage with. Almost intentionally so. I almost intentionally created businesses that weren't an excuse to play with sneakers or weren't an excuse to play with trading cards. And maybe it's not a coincidence that the first company that I finally did engage in that area, in which, you know, we say follow our passion, that's a dangerous thing to say, but mm-hmm. to be in an area that I had a lot of personal knowledge about that and then to be in it. So then to combine, you know, all the just sort of traditional business acumen or that I built up through a number of many failed startups, and then to finally bring that into an area that I had a lot of personal knowledge about. And it just makes it so much easier to spend 12, 14, 16 hours a day working if it's something that you do genuinely love. Mm-hmm. So it's not that you follow your passion because you want to hang around with the things that you like, but you're just naturally more likely to be able to spend more time and be more involved in it. And that's very much for me. I just happen to be in a place where I can put those two things together, and the timing worked out really well for me personally in my life doing that.
We're in like one of the greatest stages in time where there's a super rise in entrepreneurs. And so my question would be to you, Josh, what four things can a young person or young entrepreneur do to create great products?
Exactly four? I mean, my answer here right
three
now.
Three or four.
Because I know right. I mean, I can't give you like, yo, pick a number because you're going to be like, whoop, whoop, I see all those collectibles behind you. So I try to tone it down to like three or four.
Yeah, yeah. That's great. You know, this is the first business that I'm in where we are creating a brand and creating the products ourselves. And I'll say that I have a much different perspective on this today than if I had tried to do this a decade ago or any time along the way. And so, I think that any young entrepreneur coming into any industry, right, you need to gain some sort of expertise and some sort of extreme knowledge about your business and your industry and where you're in. But the knowledge on creating products comes from 10 years of knowledge in that space. So I would say the first thing is maybe it's not product in the first place. There's so many other different ways to be in an industry other than creating the consumer good itself, right? Whether it's, you know, consulting or business or back end, or, you know, we created a marketplace and then we were, a licensee. So I would say that it's about like creating true knowledge around that so that you can create a product that you actually can feel good about bringing it to the industry, that it's authentic, it meets whatever needs you're trying to meet. And in our case, the sort of like, say the one angle we really wanted to focus on as we move from trading cards into collectible toys and Ghost Rite was, can we create something that is a true collectible? That when we create scarcity, it is for true reasons. It's not artificial scarcity, which has been a back alley tactic used by companies within the hype economy and within collectible space for decades, which is, oh, we're just going to make 10 of these and it'll be valuable because there's only 10. That's only one half of supply and demand. You still need to create the demand side of the equation. And so for us, it was like taking all of our knowledge over that decade, creating a product that had true scarcity, but we couldn't have done that in the beginning if I didn't understand the demand side of the equation as well. So I don't know if we can title this down to exactly one or two or four answers, but I'll say it's having the knowledge to be able to create the product that actually serves the customer.
You know, it's interesting, Blaine. It's a lot of times we don't analyze the market. And one of the things that Josh does exceptionally well is analyzing both sides of a market. Mm-hmm. But when you talk about creating scarcity, Josh, I was just thinking historically, diamonds.
Yeah,
where there's always been plenty of diamonds, but they've artificially created scarcity. Now they're screwed because of DNA duplicated diamonds that they can't claim scarcity anymore. And it's, you know, really impacting an historical market where there's some great lessons about marketplace supply and demand. I'm curious what you're thinking and what we can extract. Oh, Josh, go ahead.
I was just going to say, because you brought it up, diamonds are a phenomenal example. And obviously De Beers hoarded all the diamonds and created, but they also figured out a way to create so much demand. I mean, diamonds were associated with love. So who does it, right?
Yeah.
It's just the demand side of that equation is the really extraordinary story. And they happen to say, hey, we're going to hold the supply back. And now, obviously, they have to deal with what you're talking about. But that is also supply and demand.
So cool, right? People buy on logic for people buy on emotion for logical reasons.
Exactly.
Go ahead, Blaine. Sorry.
Yeah. You know, communication is biological. It's not logical.
Yes.
So, I mean, when you kind of come down to that, you made a comment right at the very beginning here about the intersection of commerce and culture. And if we look at that as a context, or with, you know, framing it as a context of supply and demand, when you're, and let's just take ghostwriting as the example here, the intersection of culture and commerce, which one is driving which?
We have been operating in products that sell culture for a decade now. And take a look back to, say, 2015, 2016, when we started StockX. We were very fortunate to start StockX right at the same time that Kanye went to Adidas and started Yeezy. Virgil was then at Nike creating products and Off-White and Nike. So you had all these products that were being created by people that were creating the most culture in the world. Kanye, forgetting about what maybe has happened in the last couple of years, but in 2015, 2016, 2017, there was no one that was more culturally relevant in the entire world. So commerce has always existed, but then if you just look at that supply and demand balance, the ability to create true demand completely independent of whatever the product is, that is just an extraordinary value. And that's why people pay, you know, celebrity endorsers and they're always looking for different people, but there's only so many people that can really drive that amount of value. And mm-hmm. We look at the sneaker industry right now, there's kind of a narrative going on that sneakers are dead or the hype is dead. It's just at a slightly depressed state to where it was 6-8 years ago, where you had people like Kanye and Virgil driving the cultural aspect so high. So the short answer is, like, commerce is driven it always, but then culture is, takes it to another level if you have true cultural relevance within the products you're trying to sell.
It's interesting because I think inherent in culture and commerce, once again, goes back to emotion and logic.
Exactly.
There's so much math and logic within the context of market analysis and commerce, but it's so emotional culture. And as time, emotion, and value changes, so will the emotional value or the emotional expense as well. But if you want the insight, if you want to understand history and human nature, even in the marketplace analysis, as far as collectibles go, because it's been part of our culture for over 100 years in different variant forms or mediums, as we call them. What I love about Ghostwrite is that it does have this customized component and an imagination tied to it. And anything that develops our future commerce with imagination, especially with artificial intelligence, I'm 100% behind, which is why Josh Luber has honored me by writing the foreword to Don't Do Business with Dicks. Wow. I couldn't have thought of a better person to do that. He is around the billionaires who have done so before, the Tillman Fertittas and the Jack Canfields and the Warren Moons of the world. But as far as analysis goes, this guy understands business. And if you're looking for someone that can really help you understand business and marketplace, there's nobody better, I think, here on earth than my friend Josh Luber. Thank you for allowing me to rhyme and grind here with my Sesame Street, or no, Dr. Seuss. What a compliment that was. Dr. Seuss, that's a great compliment. I love Josh Luber. He's always showing up either virtually or in person. Don't forget the Masters is coming up, my friend. You got to come back for year two.
Oh, yeah. I'm not missing it this time. Thank you very, very much for having me. It's good seeing you guys.
We are blessed to have Josh Luber here on Office Hours.